Let's get him properly comfortable. Okay.
Okay.
So, how is everybody doing?
Excellent, my dear. Excellent.
Okay.
Great. You're getting better.
That's good to see. I'm doing okay. Oh, just a little busy.
Well, life is busy.
Okay. Seems like I'm acting in this just for a little while.
No, what happened to Carrie?
She's having a feel at the moment. Mark's sitting down there now.
What's up with her? She's not feeling good. She's filled with all that work she's doing.
I can't say.
I'm trying to keep up with her. What's going on?
But they will have a link in down there so that they can see what's going on up here at this end.
Any idea what she'd do about our disgruntled, pain-faced news recipients?
How many more have we had? I think Mark's idea was a good one. Get Pia to write personally, personalized. Explaining what's going on with Pia's particular larger ideas and the importance of these announcements.
Yeah, I got two people who said thank you and keep posted.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the idea. Yeah, you get one person that counsels and two people that are very happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one person doesn't want to face reality. You know, there is a lot going on in the world that is not nice right now.
Yeah,
okay. And person that sent counseling, they're not facing facts. Okay. You know, they're not ready to see what is actually happening. My opinion is that if they're not ready, then they're better off not being receiving the updates in the newsletter.
True.
Yeah. And that's the whole purpose of the news-based news, is to keep people informed and be prepared for just such situations and eventualities. The idea is to find things that keep people ready and prepared. Not a constant perpetual state of readiness, but aware to make their own decisions on what is happening. And unfortunately, compared to last year, there is a lot more going on right now than there was last year. It's like the earthquakes this morning in Turkey. There is a lot going on right now.
Turkey.
I think it was a 5.3 sent me a kind of an email, direct message. She sends me a copy of what you get and I get it about the same time you do.
I must miss that one.
But the thing is that Tia is working hard on these releases, and these releases are just brief synopsis of what is going on. Just a brief little blurb saying hostility in Chechnya, that they're within 15 miles of the capital and so on. She's just giving the bare minimum to you on what's actually going on.
Yeah.
And she's changing words in her reports to make it sound like she's picking it up off the news services, but she was not. She's getting information which cannot be disclosed from sources, you cannot disclose. Mm-hmm.
Well, she's using spell checking now, so that's good.
Yes.
Makes my job much.
Actually, she's using dictation programs.
Oh,
yeah. We finally got her because she has to think, she thinks in her own language is wrong, and then translates it into English, and then she translates it into Syrian. And now she just tells the computer to do that.
Oh, good.
I think in the one that she sent, that it's a beautiful planet, and pull together as a team and get these problems taken care of. I can't remember exactly because I don't have it by in front of me. But her work is very, very important. I don't think Amal would let her drive herself as hard as she has been if it wasn't this vitally crucial. Because it is all warnings for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, a sense of preparedness.
Well, like we said on the page, the fact that, you know, it's the next step toward DEFCON 1. And there's not going to be another upgrade from DEFCON 2 unless it's just all hell breaks loose.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, it's too late.
Pretty much so. It's just saying that, yeah, it's beyond hope at that point.
Well, the question I've got is, of all this,
but what is it that we would take to go back down to DEFCON 3? A lot of the aggressive action ceasing, a period without extreme seismic activity, probably a general smoothness, not this aggressive stance that is going on. And it's not just in one location. I don't think that would have been the deciding factor. I mean, you've got different places. You've got Peru, you've got Chechnya, you've got East Timor, you've got Angola, you've got South Africa, you've got all these places across the world where violence is occurring. You've got problems in Kosovo still going on, the riots there. Now, it's not just a localized one-off place, it's all over. And, from a human standpoint, there is a lot of stuff that is very overwhelming, that is very aggressive, and if you take all the numbers from places like East Timor, Chechnya, Peru, Colombia, all those places, you would be running into tens of thousands of people killed in hostile actions. And then throw on top of that all the seismic activity and the people being killed in those. And you're running into hundreds of thousands.
Mm.
And you're running to a point where, 50 years ago, that would have been unheard of. 100,000 people killed within the space of 2 months. That was totally unheard of. 100 years ago, that would have been very alarming. 500 years ago, you would be talking about 1% of the population of your planet. So, it's something that is very concerning as a healer to see such harm being treated with such triviality. Everybody goes, oh, it's a shame. Oh, it's a pity. And then you look into the people that are suffering, that are still in reasonably one piece, but mentally suffering as well as some of them physically suffering. And you're running into, close to 1 million people. And people just look at that as numbers at that point. One is regretful. A dozen is a tragedy. 1,000 is a great, great loss. Any more than that, people just don't comprehend it. Nobody can comprehend 1 million people in suffering.
The numbers just feeling up. The numbers don't mean anything anymore when they get up past a certain point.
Exactly. Everybody has seen 1,000 people in one place at one time. Or even 10,000 people in one place at one time. It's a lot of people. Very few people have actually seen 1 million in one place at one time. So it's something that is very concerning. What is most concerning to me is the fact that it's being treated as okay, no biggie. Which, if Tia was present, and instead of just listening, she would say something about, is one person worth any more than 1 million? And the fact that people are going, 1 million people. 10,000 people. 100,000 people. I'm pretty sure that Tia would say something to do with morals. The fact that the moral self-centeredness is causing many problems, which dovetails with what we were discussing earlier, Russ.
Mm-hmm.
Self-centeredness, using people for their own means and ends. In fact, one way for this last week about users.
Mm-hmm.
seven hands. Anyway, we're using that valuable time.
Yeah,
actually, I'm stalling a little bit because Pia keeps on getting interrupted and she is monitoring. Monitoring us and monitoring what's going on. Okay, any more questions?
No.
Okay, let me put on the first speaker. Greetings.
Greetings to you, dear.
Greetings, Skip. Greetings, Russ.
Welcome.
How are you doing?
I am doing all well. And you?
I'm looking getting better.
I see humor in word. Okay. Now, as we are filling and backpedaling, let me, instead of giving long explanations, let me be available to answering.
Excellent. I have a real good question. Forest management.
Yes.
The ability to monitor the use of renewable resources like trees and using them, but not overusing them. How do you establish a balance in a forest of what you use compared to what won't kill off a forest?
There is very easy of way. You farm off trees, remembering that it takes off great time for trees to go from little sapling to big.
Right.
What you can do is take an area that is clear of trees and area next to it being of lots of trees. You estimate how much area will be needed for trees. You plant twice area, size of area for saplings, which are of fast-growing trees. And you wait a while, making price of timber going up. Then you start to cut area slowly for lumber. As you are cutting, trees are growing. A 5 year after planting first area, you plant second area. Another 5 years, being 10 years, you cut, you are about halfway through cutting area you have of selecting. You plant area that you have cleared with little saplings. So you may be of having three areas. Then, as area B finished of cutting, you plant that area with new of saplings. So you now have four areas. Time elapsed so far, 20 years, thereabouts of your time. First area being just ready to start harvesting, but best to wait another 10 years so they are of 30 years. So having of reached 30 years, then you have area now where you have of 5 groups of trees all at different phases. And you keep repeating projects in a cycle. So you have area of great size with trees that you are cutting down and planting continually.
Now, don't the roots and the stumps get in the way of your planting efforts? Do you have to pull them out?
As they break down, what do they be of giving?
Compost, nutrients.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, new feeding off of old, which is as it has always been with physical beings.
In other words, you're talking about using a 10-year cycle.
Much bigger than 10 years.
I mean, for each planting.
Each plantation.
Yeah, a 10-year cycle. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years.
That being correct, 60 is ideal number for trees to be of big size that would be of suitable for building of big houses and long trees for tall rafters.
Right now we have a cycle right here in South Lake of 100 years in our trees.
100 would be being perfect, but depending on speed of growing of trees.
See, because the turn of the century, they clear cut this country and then replant it. So there's no trees over 100 years old here.
There are few growths where there are memory trees.
Yeah, but from here clear to Carson City, it was clear cut.
Which is very sad. But area this big, it would be of ideal for project of a 60-year cycle.
On Lake Tahoe? Well, there's 70 miles of lakeshore.
Yeah. And they clear cut.
I don't know how long it took.
Probably in 15 years. Because there was not a tree left up here at the turn of the century.
That's not good forest management.
No, well, see, in them days, they didn't manage forests. They just clear cut.
But there is being more to forest management than just planting trees. You have to be of planting right trees. If you are using plantation style methods, if you are of just replacing trees to restore to natural, and you do not plant trees that die and see pictured in your minds, those are wrong trees for this region you are being of living in. Those trees are being of non-drought resistant, non-resistant to indigenous insect life, which will be of causing problems. And also, picture you are generating suggests that of trees not being far enough apart, too close together. That is part of forest management. Also, what is part of forest management is natural for growth and being of forest and of managers of forest, not being human, but of being beaver, working hand in hand next to forest beaver is beavers of fire. Fire is part of the natural process, but if not allowed to work, then fire beavers lose control and skill of using fire for keeping forest healthy. If needle forests, it's becoming a problem that acid increase in soil as needles being of dissolving to ground. Okay, next up, question for audio.
The Indians had the right idea. I'm speaking of North American Indians. They burnt their forests probably every 10 years.
Elaborate, please.
Either through, before the invasion of the European people into the North American continent, we had North American Indians. Mm-hmm. And their philosophy was to set fires in the forests, either by natural causes, which are lightning, or by their own hand, every 10 years to burn off the underbrush, let the tall trees grow, and clean the forest.
And you are correct. That is part of terminology you use, invasion. We will discuss this at another time, as I am being fascinated by what you are visualizing.
Okay, at a different time.
But you are being quite correct in using that as an example, that it is healthy forest management.
Immigration of people from all over the world to this country. That has been ceased.
Yes. I see it as potential for great problem. Great catastrophe.
I believe that's why we're having such hellacious wars.
Do not believe, no. That is very correct assumption.
We have real problems.
And they're getting worse. They're getting worse. They ain't getting any better.
Indigenous people that live in forests or near forests know how to often manage it. If you do not use fire, as beavers try to do so, then you are taking away natural control and fuel for wild land fires increases, so no longer being just scorching of bark, it's being coming of a holocaust. That is correct way to of using?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Prime example is Yellowstone. What was that, 5 years ago?
Eight years ago.
Eight years ago. Now everything's all new. It's just beautiful there now.
But that is, again, an example of the site. But I think part of the problem is of the fact that people are now dwelling within those areas where once it was not a problem of being big fires. They were unseen and unheard of. But now people of living within those areas see and being of alarmed and concerned of their property.
Yeah, the Indians were nomadic. If they set the fire, they just move on until the fire went away and they can move back in.
Oh, true.
But nowadays, yeah, you get set up in a place.
Well, you've got too many people.
Yeah.
That's the problem. We're getting overpopulated.
Yes, I am thinking of so.
And more people are moving into the mountains to get away from the cities. So consequently, they're overpopulating the mountains for all the forests and all the resources.
Okay, let us all vocalize next question.
You?
Go ahead.
I have one.
Let's see. That's a good management plan for that. The other question I have is concerning, is also with forest management, the ability to use proper farming techniques for agriculture in, let's say, an area you've already clear cut of timber, and now you want to put agriculture in there. So you're not going to grow trees again, but are you going to be taken away from the health of the forest around you?
If it is isolated, I do not see a problem. But if you keep on expanding area and increasing of size, then you are harming the forest's natural balance. But if you keep it isolated and small as initially set up, then it is not being a problem. They are being like meadows.
All right. Well, many times in our history, we have, and present, we have many areas that are taken out of the forest, cutting them down to put in agriculture, and basically destroying force. And it's finding that balance. The forest can't tell you what its balance point is.
True. But if you listen and look, you can observe what is root cause of problem.
Well, the agriculturing or over grazing.
No, there is root problem of why you would need to cut down trees for more agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
The population.
So what is answer?
Kill off half the people. No, I'm just teasing, Treebeard. I'm just teasing.
I do see humor in your mind with that, but with what is going on, I think it would be not a idea of good comments, even
right.
In chat.
No, the solution to this would be a more efficient agriculture.
Or landing abstinence.
Yeah.
Not abstinence, but taking precautions. Instead of two people having three or more of children, just having one.
No, this is true too. It's still going to explode
True.
Your population.
True.
Go ahead, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you. But I was just trying to advise you that we are being listened to by Kiri and Tia.
I was just teasing about eliminating half the population.
I am understanding, but I am thinking of Tia with her workload at
this time. I know. I just, sense of humor. I'm a little bit twisted, but it's a sense.
Oh, I am of understanding. I am not admonishing you or anything. I'm just concerned that we do not want fair flying.
Yeah, I know. But no, if they would, I believe in my own mind, if and they're trying to, agriculture be more efficient with what they've got rather than trying to just expand land to grow more food, be more resourceful in growing two or three foods on the land that they've got.
Oh, most certainly. It is easy to be more efficient. Increasing arable area is just temporary remedy to increasing peoples. If you learn how to make area produce much more and more efficiently, you can therefore, as you say, two or three products in 1 year means that it is more advantageous than just one, three being perfect setup for doing so.
I see this happening all over the where people are getting more efficient with their property. Even the cattle people are starting to grow alfalfa in their pastures that they can harvest while they're still grazing cattle. So there you got two products coming from one piece of land.
Correct.
Well, a lot of technologies now with agriculture have been focusing on more higher yield with less space used. For example, hydroponics,
yeah.
Greenhouses, other various means allow you to control environments,
mm-hmm.
what that you're growing in, so you don't have to use a necessary soil
or more land. Yeah.
Growing in areas where you can't grow. Taking a desert, putting in a greenhouse,
mm-hmm.
a very large set of greenhouses even, and you can grow as much in there as you could on arable land.
See, at one time, there was three states covered by wheat country.
Now, I've seen this is all probably less.
See, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Montana were all covered with wheat country, eastern Montana.
Oh, really?
That was all dry land wheat country at one time. It's almost all gone.
Why?
Because it's so arid. Now they're growing other things up there.
But Skip is all answering your next question. Okay.
What to do with the land?
Yes.
Right.
Skip started to answer a question. You started to answer, please finish. We were talking about dry farm, dry wheat, and now farming other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Continue.
Well, this is happening all over. It's just Oklahoma, Texas, and right down through the mid-country, it was a dust bowl, what, in 29, 30, 31, 32, and the people all migrated to California because it was a good growing country. It still is good growing country, but the population's increasing so fast, they're wiping out the growing country.
Well, what are they growing those places now where it used to be?
Now it's going back to being an agricultural country again. And of course, Texas and Oklahoma is all oil wells. But they still, they're putting in cattle and sheep back on the land, which they have pulled off. I would say in the last 20 years, that area has gone back to what it was before the Dust Bowl ages. People done the Dust Bowl. It was man's thing that done the Dust Bowl. He plowed up everything. So consequently, when the winds came, it blew away all the good soil. Am I correct, Reader?
You are being correct. I am assuming. I am not familiar with that period in your history.
Well, it's...
I remember that is from my history books.
Okay. What I understand is European farmers came here and they'd done the same kind of soil preparation that they've done in Europe, which is to plow, disc, and level and plant. Not rotate or not, what do they call it? Cut crossways of hills and not plow everything. They plowed everything. When you turn the soil continuously and make a flat land on, when the wind comes, it blows away all your nutrients and all your good soil because you plowed the good soil up.
So what are they doing now? They put up windbreaks?
And there's windbreaks. They rotate crops, rotate planting, space planting, so that the wind can't blow away everything and turn it into an arid land again.
Hmm.
But this was through a hard way of learning.
Unfortunately, so.
Still, that's good information for other people.
Oh, sure, sure.
Especially, you know, things like, say, the project we're working on.
Yeah.
That's good information, you know, for, you know, agricultural planning in an area where you're going to be putting a dense amount of people.
Yeah, because you don't want to level everything. You do and you'll lose it.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah, because if you level everything and plow up all your soil-holding properties, like your trees and your shrubs, if you plow up everything and clear your land completely, the wind will blow away everything you've got. The wind is unforgiving.
You have moved away from my field of expertise.
I'm sorry.
I am now of learning, so I am being a big ear to catch all that is of saying.
I'm sorry. Well, no, actually, it's very fascinating. It's just that, you know, so for example, you plow, let's say, one way in one field,
yeah,
and the field next to it, you plow perpendicular to it?
Yes. Yes. And don't drag it the same way. Don't drag the two fields the same way. What I mean by drag, let me see if I can remember everything. When you drag a field, you level it, completely level it. You use a drag, which pulls away the roots and the fine bits and pieces that plants and so on and so forth. You drag your field crossways of the wind and you'll lose it all. If you drag it the way the wind blows, you don't lose everything because it goes down into the little grooves in the field.
I get it.
Okay. If you drag it crossways, everything blows off.